Hey everyone, welcome to the Grove Collective Podcast. We have Christine joining us on today's episode. Hey Christine.
Hello.
Yeah.
Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. One of the things that I have just so enjoyed about getting to know you is I feel like you truly are one of the most joy-filled people that I've come into contact in my life. And you have an awesome story. You've been on some cool adventures, incredible ways that God has just been working in your life. And so I'm excited to be able to unpack that, to get to know you more, and also for our people to get to know you a little bit better too.
Yeah, I'm so honored. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And to start, I just wanted to kind of jump right in and ask if you could share just a little bit about who you are, where you grew up, family life, and also what brought you to the Grove.
Yeah, so I was born in Colorado and then raised mostly in Pennsylvania in non-denominational churches, grew up Christian, had amazing parents that loved and followed the Lord. And so really grateful for their influence in my life. I think that I was very privileged in that way, just being able to have a dad and a mom who really did truly believe in God. And and then I went to college back in Colorado and then moved to Africa for some time and Brazil for a short time. So yeah, getting to the Grove was definitely a miracle and like a very God-inspired moment, because I know that the children's pastor before me had been here for over a decade, I believe.
Yeah.
And having that position open up right around the time that I was looking for a job in this area, because we had been moving over this way, was very divine and couldn't have orchestrated it if I had tried. And so I feel really honored to just be able to do what I feel most passionate about, which is sharing the love of Jesus with people and really pouring into kids.
Yeah, and it's been so amazing to watch you just kind of thrive here. I think you're an incredible leader. And you shared a little bit about some adventures that you've been on in places like Africa and Brazil, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share about what God has done kind of in your life and through your life? I remember you shared with me about some of your time in Africa and just how that was like a big kind of like season in your life where you felt like God did some incredible things in you and through you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's probably three different areas in which Africa kind of shaped the future of my life.
Yeah.
I went there and had been interning with RWAN, which is Rural Orphans and Widows AIDS Network, which is a beautiful organization in Uganda. And during that internship, the director, CEO of the organization wanted us, her and I, to go to Iris Ministries, Mozambique, with Heidi and Roland Baker. And I had started reading Heidi Baker's book, Compelled by Love. And I wondered if what she was saying was true. And all of it
Me
was
too.
Very biblical.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It was biblical, but I had never seen that for myself. I had never experienced those type of miracles or seen God move in those kind of ways that the book explained. And so getting there, I honestly had felt a little skeptical about whether or not I was going to see what the book was saying. And within the first week, I went onto the beach.
Right,
yeah, it was really interesting. I was on the beach. There's the campus, the Village of Joy, is right across the street from the beach. It's beautiful. It's like an oasis. And it was a street village kid that came and said that his grandmother had been blind and Heidi had gone to their village close by and had prayed over her, and the Spirit of God allowed her to see. And because of that, so many of the people in that village came to know Jesus. And that whole region that used to be Muslim right there in Cabo Delgado had been transformed within the years that they had been there to become a Christian region from Muslim. And so then I got to experience it for myself. I got to go to some rural villages and pray over people that were blind and see their eyes open.
Wow.
I had the opportunity to pray over someone that was deaf and they were able to hear.
Really?
And just like experiencing it for myself. And then also we always ask obviously the chief's permission to come into a village to share about Jesus before we go in. But when we went, one of the times they were doing a funeral ceremony because someone had passed away. And just having the audacity to even pray over someone that's dead, to ask the Lord to raise them, is in and of itself a faith step, right?
Yeah.
So I have never personally seen someone raised from the dead, but there are people that I know that have seen it. And so that kind of thing. It just started to well up in me this understanding that the New Testament is a real, like what happens in the New Testament is real and it's alive today.
Yeah.
And so that gave me a lot of vision for walking into that spiritual capacity that I'd never been in.
Yeah.
And then also during that season, I also was asking the Lord like what my spiritual gifts were and what my calling in life is. And during that season, he really confirmed to me that it's children and that it's to love and unconditional love. And that's something that, because I'm an Enneagram 2, the healthy Enneagram 2 is someone that can unconditionally love others.
Wow.
And so, I mean, everyone can, but
totally.
I think it's something that the 2 has maybe more prone or tendency to do. And so that was really inspiring for me because I didn't see that as important for some reason. I didn't see as like working with kids or like loving people as important, but God really defined that well for me and how that can be really powerful as well.
Yeah.
And then the other main thing that Africa taught me was that life is, as Heidi Baker says this, but life is a cup of joy and suffering.
Mm.
And so what it looks like to live in suffering and joy, and
I
how
like
is that?
That's tough.
That
but
paradox.
It's true.
Yeah. So those are the 3 main things, because people over there are suffering.
Yeah.
And it's at times like, why God, right? And
right.
So what does that look like to come in?
Totally. And I have so much that I want to ask based off of what you just shared. I think too, even in America, we suffer too, but it's different.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And we're maybe not as aware of our suffering. We're kind of naive or ignorant to it. But
then
I think the older we get, all of us, like suffering is inevitable and it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
So I love how looking at life as a cup of joy and a cup of suffering, and how I believe God doesn't waste our suffering either, you know? He doesn't. And but I want to back up because I remember reading about Heidi Baker when I was younger, and I had the same thoughts that you had. I was just like, wait, is this really happening? Is this really true? And when I was a teenager specifically, I was kind of hard-headed and pretty stubborn. And even my spiritual mom, my best friend's mom, who kind of took me in, she loved Heidi Baker. And she definitely is like my biggest influence for my faith. And I remember being so resistant to believing that God could still perform miracles today. And I know there's still some people out there that don't believe that the cessationist, that the miracles have ceased. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, absolutely not. Like, the gift of salvation and the transformation that I've seen is an evidence that God still performs miracles. And I still do believe in healing miracles and all of those things that you talk about. One of the questions I had is, after you have experienced that firsthand, because I have never seen blind eyes opened, I've never seen deaf ears become open, how did that impact you, especially coming back to America? I feel like that just does something in you that changes you forever. How did that change your faith?
Yeah, it definitely impacted my faith. And it also, like, there's still this level of doubt. Like, there's still this amount of fear surrounding this, because I didn't grow up with it. I didn't see it on a normal basis.
Yep.
I grew up in a church that didn't really practice, you know, praying over people to see that kind of healing. We always prayed for, you know, God to heal when people are in the hospital. But yeah, I think that it's continued to be something that I want to dig in with the Lord and understand more, because, you know, you during this mission school, you do dive into those questions, like, why does he heal some people but not others? And what does that mean? Is it their fault? Is it my fault? Is it our fault? And just continuing to dive into what the Bible says about that is something that I'm excited to keep doing, as I know that there are so many more just ways that we can grow in our spirituality that I haven't fully experienced yet. And I'm excited, because it will take all of eternity to really know Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. And so,
here at The Grove, we care deeply about empowering all people and helping them to find and live out their God-given purpose and calling. Mm. Can you talk about the way that you feel like The Grove has empowered you and how you get to live out your calling here in Chandler, Arizona, and at The Grove? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought I would be living the rest of my life in Africa. So
you did.
Moving back to America was a long grieving process for me. And I was stuck behind a 9-to-5 desk job, cubicle job for a while, and just was like, God, what is my purpose? Like, what's your plan for me? And being able to kind of see God redeem the maybe the pieces of my life that I thought were broken or gone or lost and my dreams in this way is really cool because I am being able to pour into kids, which is my passion, and tell the whole world about Jesus and get paid for it, which is really a cool thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the combination of that and like the heartbeat of the Grove being missional and our head pastor, Pastor Palmer, being raised in Africa in a very remote village and just all of what the Grove stands for with justice and the beauty and the arts and the mission-mindedness that it has just really is my heartbeat as well. And so I wouldn't have been able to orchestrate all of that coming together on my own. And so it's just really cool to see how God can bring us through. Not that cubicle jobs are bad.
Right.
I just don't feel like that was where I was going to stay for the rest of my life. There was a season, a purpose for that. It was hard and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But then also just knowing that the circumstances and the people and the motives and all the things, this is just like on my heart right now, don't dictate like the direction of our lives, but Jesus does.
Amen.
And so as we continue to yield our lives over to him, he's able to use that yieldedness and that saying yes to whatever he says, and he'll just orchestrate all the details, even when we don't understand in the moment.
When I first met you, it was pretty evident that you've got this, like I said earlier, this joy about you. And I feel like this joy isn't contingent or based on external circumstances. And sure, you talk about your job where there was a lot of grumbling and complaining and you cried a lot, but I think the overall theme of who you are is you're a joyful person. Can you talk about where that comes from? And like how you embody this joy in spite of what may be going on around you?
Yeah, Nehemiah says that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're making a conscious decision to walk in joy.
Yeah.
And if we choose not to, we're literally taking the strength out of the power of what we could be and what we could do with the Lord. And so it's not that the circumstances bring the joy, it's that I bring the joy.
That's good.
Because I have the Spirit of the living God in me.
That's
good. So I get to decide, and it's a momentary decision at times, to show up with joy. And sometimes that just is forcing myself to smile, a smile campaign.
Yeah.
Like just smile at everyone and anyone or anything and knowing that this is who God's called me to be, like filled with joy regardless of circumstance. And I remember in high school, I used to run cross country in high school and college, and I was running one afternoon, and the Lord just impressed on me very heavily that it doesn't matter the circumstance. Like if I got this in my heart, like you know it in your head, but it came to my heart and it was like, if I'm in jail someday, for example, right? Whatever the circumstance, like, If I'm there, I can bring glory to God there.
Mm-hmm.
Like my purpose is to bring glory to God. And so if that's in jail, if that whatever the circumstance becomes, I know that I can walk in joy. And it's a really brave decision, but it's like a choice. It's not just a happenstance.
Right.
Like it doesn't just like, I'm just joyful all the time.
Right,
but
right,
it's
right.
like a decision. And so I think that that's really powerful because sometimes I think people feel like they just have to feel it to believe it, but I think we should believe it, and then the feelings will come.
Totally.
The feelings will follow.
Yeah, that's I believe in that. I do. That's awesome. I have a series of kind of like rapid-fire questions that I want to ask you, and I've been doing this with everybody as we get ready to wrap it up, but one of the questions I have, and I think this really exposes a lot of like who we are at our core. The first question is, what breaks your heart?
Yeah. I was thinking about that, and recently, the Lord really put on my heart that one of my heartbeats is to see people free.
Mm.
And what breaks my heart is when people don't understand the love of God for them. Because when you fully know that the God of the universe and the one that loves you most really loves you, like, what does that actually mean?
Mm.
When you get that, you walk differently.
Changes
you
everything.
Act differently. You respond and react to people differently. And so when I'm experiencing, whether it be a road rage or, you know, somebody in my life that's giving me an attitude, I just know that, like, I don't have to be offended. My heart can break for them because I know that they aren't fully walking in that moment, maybe, right, into what they know or whose they are and what their full purpose is.
For
and so that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. I want people to be free from opinions of others and just the weights of the world, the weight of the world, and really walk in their identity as a loved child of God.
Yeah. It reminds me, there's this quote that I heard by Tim Keller, and he says, a lot of people's character flaws, well, when we bump into them, they hurt us. And we can choose to be offended or we can hurt more for them than we've been hurt by them.
Yeah.
And it's not looking down on somebody, right? It's
just
being, it's just choosing grace in that moment rather than being angry at them and responding with that, for sure.
Yeah, instead of crying for myself, right?
Yes.
Like it gets it off of me and my own pity party.
Totally.
Right? And really care for the other person. Like stepping into their shoes a little bit.
Yes, and I think we can all relate that in times when we've been stressed or when we have a lot going on or when we're not doing well, that's usually when we respond with anger, with whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
The next question is, if you were only given 30 minutes a day to do work-related activity, what would you do? It has to be the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is hugging little sweet children
really?
As they come running. Christy!
Yeah. Seriously?
So, yeah, if I had 30 minutes, it would be on a Sunday morning when my own children or the kids of the Grove come and are so excited to be at church, to see me, to get a hug.
Yes.
And that brings me probably the most joy.
What I love about this is like, that sounded so scripted, but it's not. And it's so cool to me that that is what, if you were given 30 minutes a day to do, that that is what you would do, but that is what you're doing right now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool picture of how God has like orchestrated your life to prepare you for this season that you're in, and you're getting to live out that calling that he's placed before you.
Yeah.
That's really special.
Yeah, I remember when I was living in Africa, all of the kids on the base from the international kids, there was about a dozen or so, and they would come find me in the mornings, and they would come running, and they would, you know, have me come and catch their lizards and run around on the trees with them, and it just, like, that was what brought me to life.
Mm-hmm.
It was just those little kiddos, like, running and being full of life, because I want to be full of life like them, so they just teach me so much.
I know. We grow up and grow out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So sad. We
yeah.
need to fight against that.
Totally.
Yeah. Become childlike for sure. One of the final questions I have for you is, what are you doing right now, or what is there anything in your life that is bringing you joy in this moment? What specifically is that?
There's so many things. I think that I continually thank the Lord for this position and this job being at the Grove. And you know, whether I'm here for another year, another decade, I don't know, but I do know that like I'm where I'm supposed to be right now.
Yeah.
And when you know you're supposed to where you're supposed to be, there's just so much confidence in that. And I'm just so grateful to be able to, again, get paid to tell people about the only hope for the world.
Right.
And on a daily basis to be able to do that. There's just so much passion and fervor for that.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful.
Well, you do a lot here, so I'm glad that you get paid as well, because you're a great leader and you have an amazing team that has surrounded you, and you are a part of a really awesome ministry. I think it's one of the most important ministries that any church could have, and that's their children's ministry. So and last but definitely not least, talk to us a little bit about your family. All your beautiful kiddos, your husband. Tell us, tell us what family life is like.
Yeah, so my husband and I have been married for almost 10 years in November. So that's just such a grace and gift from the Lord to be able to continue persevering through marriage. And it's such a gift. It's a beautiful journey. And I'm really grateful for my four kids. It's I have an 8-year-old who, Shakira, she is full of questions and inquisitive and very, very smart.
Yeah.
She won't miss a beat. can't lie to her.
Not that you ever would.
No. Zion, he's 6, and he has so much empathy for people.
Yeah.
He's the bigger man than me. Like, he'll apologize first before I'm ready, because I usually stay a little stubborn and, man, this kid shows me up every time.
That's beautiful.
Talatu's full of joy. She's just this little joy bug, like loves hugs and cuddles, and she's just happy about life, and it's really cool to see. And then Atari, he's 2, so Talatu's 3, and then Atari's 2, and I, you know, he's still developing his personality, but what I see in him is some courage.
Yeah.
He was trying to swim yesterday, and he's not quite there, but, you know, we were walking home, and he was like, I kick. I was like, you did kick. He's like, I blow bubbles. Nice. You did blow bubbles. He's like, I brave. I'm like, you are brave. Like, he was just, like, believing in himself, even though the whole time he screamed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see some courage in there. You know, he's awesome. Speaking life over himself
already.
Yeah,
as he should be. That's great. Mm-hmm. You were doing announcements one weekend, and I saw Zion sitting down, and he was watching worship, and he was so engaged. But he was also, like, getting ready to watch you come up and do announcements, and it was so cute. I was like, oh, what a special moment.
Yeah. It's always, I always tell him that's my favorite part of the day is when he sits next to me in service.
Yeah. Well, Christine, I just wanted to thank you so much for your time on the Grove Collective podcast, and it's been so good getting to know you on a deeper level, and I hope that everybody watching has also enjoyed this episode. Yeah. And if you ever see Christine in person, definitely don't be shy. Trust me, we all could use some of her joy in our life. So, thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in.